You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Real quick, now that we've had a space of silence, let's do a shirt advertisement that we can put at the front of the episode.
Okay.
Throughandthroughmerch.com, we have shirts, Twerking Marge, Moloch shirt. They are almost done, and we are on the final pushed. This is the final worst possible timeline.
Don't pushed. I think that's German.
I know.
Don't say. But the beer hall pushed is not good. We don't want us to be associated with that.
All right, then this is the final. This is the last battle cry of the shirts
of the Vikings.
Yeah. If you want to,
we're headed in a direction again.
Can we use any of this? I don't know. Anyway, throughandthroughmerch.com. Go there, buy a shirt. They're lit. Our man Hunt hooked it up. He prints lots of shirts. He does lots of cool shit on there. Give him your business. It's the holiday season. Buy a Worst Possible Timeline t-shirt for your niece, for your unk, for your nephew. Everybody in the family loves a Twerking Marge t-shirt. They're the best. They're really funny. They're cool. They make you look cool. You wear them to the airport. You wear them to the mall, and everyone looks at you and they go, "Holy shit! Look at this!"
That's cool.
You see, here's the thing: you'll have whatever reaction you want. You may just get, if you want people to be like, "Yo, that's lit," or if you want them to be like, "Holy shit, I'm going to avoid eye contact with this person." You'll solicit both of those reactions.
That's a fact.
So. Anyway, go buy a shirt. They're running out. They're almost done. This is might be your last chance. And for people that have bought a shirt, they should be shipping out very soon. Check your mailbox. Check under the Christmas tree. They might be coming your way very soon. And now here's the episode.
Boom. All right.
As we're recording, and I don't have headphones, but it's not that I don't care. It's just that I feel compelled to begin immediately while we're in the zone. We're in the sphere where I'm looking at Twitter. I'm getting mad.
Okay. Well, what's got you? Because I'm going to get you mad. It's a very feminine trait to not know where your headphones are.
How is that a feminine trait?
My girlfriend will just lose her headphones for days and she'll be like, they'll turn up. And I'm like, what is this? This is insane.
Because a woman in your life lost her headphones, you now associate that with femininity.
That's correct.
That's all right. That's ridiculous. But I know where they are. I just don't feel like getting them. It's not laziness. It's because I don't want to offset the momentum. I want to come in. This is a hot mic. This is a hot moment, not in the sexual sense, but in the emotional sense.
All right. What do you got for me?
The internet is doing tired shit. They're calling Matt Taibbi a fascist.
Oh God.
It's so tired.
Listen, everyone. There's certain words that you can use that signal that you're not a real person. One of them is nothing burger, which if you started using nothing burger in the last 11 days, you are 100% not a real human being. You're in Marvel comics. They've got LMDs, right?
What's that?
Those are life model decoys. Ooh. So they're just like androids that look exactly like someone. So I could replace you with a life model decoy, and you could probably go weeks before anybody realized that there's something. Hey, this guy is a little off.
It's called getting sheep dipped.
Yeah, that is what happened. That is what you are when you use things like, "Oh, this is a nothing burger." Or did you see all the people clipped them? There was dozens and dozens of people using the same exact language saying, "Imagine doing PR for the world's wealthiest man." And it's like, what do you suppose is happening here? Do you think that because he received this packet of information from the horse's mouth and then vetted it, that That's not how journalism occasionally works. Like, what do people think, that you like wade through sewers and shit for journalism? That's the only way that you get like any type of information? It's so fucking weird. Yo, it's a story worth reporting on, everybody. And the deeper it goes, I was actually surprised. I thought they were going to like shoot their load immediately and go with the most salacious shit. The more salacious shit just keeps coming out. And it's like, yo, why are you not taking this seriously? Oh, I understand, because your partisan is all hell. That's the only reason. Like, otherwise, there's something wrong with you. I'm trying to be more kind about these things, but there's something wrong with you if you don't see it as newsworthy that the government is advising a private company on what it should allow into the world, not for legal reasons, but for partisan reasons. If you don't say, oh yes, that is newsworthy, that's fucking crazy. Like, you can feel however you want about Elon. You could be like, at the end of it, you could be like, Elon's a scumbag, which is weird. He wasn't there. But you can feel what you want about Elon, about the Trump administration, about Hunter Biden as a man, his privacy. You can feel any of those ways. But if you don't deem it newsworthy that these things are happening, there is something wrong with you. You've passed the Rubicon into just hack territory. You're a fucking operative at that point.
What I see happening in regards to – we're talking about the Twitter files now. I mean, what I see in regards to that is just people being like, oh, we already knew all this. Like, it's like this weird, like, ironic kind of like detached sort of like, ugh, late to the party, bro. And it's like, okay, anybody that was like paying attention suspected it, but now we have like hard proof that yes, this was happening. But what's weird is that Twitter was taking direction from both the Democrats and the Republicans on what information to you know, downplay or remove, right?
Well, sort of. So they were taking advice from the FBI met with them numerous times and advised them. Then you had the individual, you had the partisan entities, and then you had essentially deep state. And they were both applying pressure to Twitter. And the one that's most disconcerting is the intelligence agencies coming to Twitter and being like, better not run that. Yo, that's a problem. Yo, that's a fucking problem.
Yeah.
So this has been a discouraging moment to watch. The, like, for example, people don't do this in what I'll call real life. They only do this in sectarian life. We all know that Catholic priests molest kids. If some journalist, as has happened, was able to find the evidence that they paid people off, covered it up. This was the film Spotlight for anybody that wants to revisit a very kind of mundane sort of directed film. When you find the evidence and it says in no uncertain terms that thing that you believe to be happening is certainly happening, and there's a cover up, which is the important part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Then it is relevant. That is that might be the definition of news, honestly.
I mean, I think it's
what,
like,
are we talking about?
I think that the degree to which the FBI and the CIA and the, you know, deep state actors, however you want to define it, the way in which they, the level to which they're embedded in.
We are brought to you by Factor. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular ones like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring. Looking for gourmet? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. No fuss, no mess. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff. Tailored to your schedule, customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals. Head over to factormeals.com/worstpossible50 and use code worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code worstpossible50 at factormeals.com/worstpossible50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. We thank Factor for sponsoring the show.
Many, many facets of government media, the way in which they exercise a sort of like silent sort of hidden power beyond the radar of the American public in order to just sort of like, I guess, basically guide the Overton window of discussion. Right. I mean, I think that's essentially what they're doing. The degree to which that's happening is, as I said, it's unseen. It's kind of unknowable, but this sort of takeover of Twitter and the pulling back the curtain has revealed a way in which those entities sort of conspire behind the scenes, right? And it's kind of, it goes beyond party. It goes beyond, you know, left right access. It's merely just the motivations of a sort of hidden arm of the government. And that's a problem. Yeah, it's a problem. And I mean, it's sort of like, you know, depending on what they're sort of, what information they're policing, it's kind of irrelevant, because the fact that they're doing it at all is a problem. It could be that they're not letting you see, you know, the script for Avatar. Doesn't matter. The fact that they're exercising hidden power to keep things from you is that's disturbing.
And
it's bad.
And I feel more strongly about the other issue than a lot of people do, which is the shadow banning. I can understand the argument for how a platform would not want certain voices to be amplified. I understand it. It's also a libertarian argument for people that are pretend that the libertarianism is somehow evil or whatever, but it's a fundamentally libertarian argument. And okay, so you're a private entity, although at that time I think you were publicly traded, but whatever. You are your own business, and you don't want Richard Spencer to become the face of your platform. Pretty understandable, right? Except that you lied and you said that you weren't suppressing him, but you were. Now, there's a question. Is a company obliged to be honest with you? Well, advertising would say no, but statements such as "we do not shadow ban," and while you are actively shadow banning, literally throttling people's reach with a button click, which in fairness, every reasonable person did know was happening.
Yeah.
However, when they lie to your face, it is newsworthy to report they were lying to you. It is not a nothing burger simply because the thing we suspected is confirmed. That, again, that's the opposite of a nothing burger. That's confirmation. Yeah. That's relevant. So I think that basically you are a full fucking Obama weirdo if you are going around saying this is not germane. This is what is this? There's bigger issues. Kanye doesn't like Jews. You know what I mean? Like, you're just being dishonest. You're being like truly partisan in like an ugly way. You got to get like a t-shirt for your fucking party.
Well, I don't even know that's. I mean, yeah, obviously it is sort of it's on the lib end of things that of the people that are, you know, saying that this is not a big deal, right? But it's something. It goes beyond that because it's like. It's not so much that those people are sort of simping for Dems or being, you know, neo-libs or whatever. It's that they're simping for they're simping for big tech and big government. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's not so much a party as much as it is like, hey, actually, we knew
I want to be I want to be stepped on,
and they should do it. You know, and it's like I don't know how to explain to people that, like, even if this is bad information, quote unquote, even if this is information you don't want to see, even if this is maybe it's not even necessarily true, maybe it's conspiracy bullshit or like whatever, it's important that people don't hide things from you, that you have access to it.
See, that's the thing. Strange people will just say, if it's not good, then don't give it, then I don't want access to it. If you say it's bad, that's, please don't allow me to have it. Right. And they treat things like poison. It's like, oh, well, somebody said it was, the label said it was bad. So I don't want it. And it's like, you know, that's fine. What you have to understand is that that's fine and good for you. That's completely, you get to make your own decisions in life. That's fine. But when you say, yeah, please deny it to me and everyone else because I think it might be naughty, or at least that's what you tell me, you're making decisions for others. And that's weird.
Well, but it,
what if I want to eat poison?
Well, but it's not even I would put it in more in terms that people, I think, would more understand, in the sense that, like, I mean, because everyone's happy to let Patrick eat poison all day. But the point to me is that, like, so a lot of this, like, misinformation, disinformation, to like, in my view, kind of began when Trump became president and everyone was like, Russia, the Russia thing, Russia put out memes and it made people believe things that aren't true. And that's why they voted for Trump. And it's like, yo, people were like, the conceit of that narrative, of that concept is that, oh, if these people just read The New Yorker, they would have made the correct political decision. You know, it's right. Not the fucking meme that says the Pope loves Trump. That's not why that person voted for Trump. It's because they wanted to. They. It goes beyond that. You can't just. It's like, if you have control of the information and you can deem the bad things as all lies and bad and things that people should not consume, then they will make the correct decisions. And I don't know how else to think of that other than fucking thought control.
Right. Well, again, I don't think anybody should do fentanyl. However, some people wanna. And it's like, what is the, like, Clockwork Orange calculus that we're doing here? You know what I mean? Like, oh no, you're not allowed to want that. You're not allowed to have that in your heart. It's like, yo, what if I just, okay. So let's say that, yeah, as you said, let's say that the Hunter Biden story, for example, was completely false. Turned out, no, but let's say it was completely false. What if I like false things? Yeah. I'm not allowed. You know, like, what a bizarre way to go through life. It's like, not good. So you can't have it. It's like, You love government, huh? You love to get stepped on. This is all it is.
So the Hunter Biden thing is almost like a sort of perfect counterbalance, because it's like, okay, you wanna destroy the meme that says the Pope loves Trump, right? Because the Pope, in fact, has never said any such thing, and you don't want Catholics to believe that because they're a large voting bloc, and if they think that, they're all going to come out and vote in droves for Trump. First of all, once again, whether it's true or not is not germane. It's not important to me. It's weird that you don't want them to see things so that they go and they vote your way. And also, yeah. But going with this line of logic, the Hunter Biden thing is a perfect counterbalance, because that was true, and they wholesale what they banned it on Twitter, and they completely, they, what did Facebook do? They just made it inaccessible. But that was actual, that was actually real. So it has nothing to do with getting rid of bad information. It has nothing to do with getting rid of misinformation. It has everything to do with, we have a desired outcome. That's what it is. And I don't know how to explain to you how that's bad. That's important to know that that's happening where you get your information. And it's not good.
So listen, that's actually, I don't know how to explain it to you is the problem, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to attempt something that is not going to work. I'm going to look for a Glenn Greenwald tweet. And I'm guessing that this is not possible because he tweets so fucking much that there's no way that I'll be able to find it. But I thought that for a guy that I find largely unpleasant, he said it perfectly. I've always looked for the language to express a thing that I've always felt. And weirdly, this guy put it into words. So I'm going to attempt to find this. He's saying exactly, you know, you and I are, it's just a matter of time before people come for us the way they come for this poor bastard.
I mean, listen, I don't care, because I'm at the point now where, like, we've been in this sort of thing for so long, and we've seen this sort of shit happen on Twitter so much that it's like, I'm kind of half convinced that people that shout this stuff down, you're bots. I think just go with me on this. It's not like a fully fleshed out theory. Like, I don't know how in practice it would work, like in a practical sense, but like, there's just things don't, whenever they don't want this to catch on, right? Like, they don't want it to be a big deal that, you know, the FBI and whatever intelligence agencies and political parties were influencing tech companies to guide the sort of discussion that happens on Twitter, right? They don't want that to be so, like, from the outset, it, like, just gets shouted down. It just gets ridiculed. Like, there's just, so in the, like, yeah, maybe they'll come for, in the way that they come for Glenn Greenwald, if perhaps this podcast ever is able to sort of poke above the little niche that we're in right now, maybe they will. But like, I'm at the point where, like, whether you're a literal bot, whether you're like actually an algorithm and there's not like a person behind a keyboard, or you are a person behind a keyboard, but you're so like, you're just like,
you got
so
bot, up, you got bot mindset.
You got bot mind. You're so married to a party or an ideology that, like, you're just a bot to me at that point. And it's like, I don't mean to dismiss it just because, like, I think they should care about what I care about. That's not necessarily where I'm coming from. It's just like, because, like, there's plenty of things that people really care about that you and I do not.
Yeah, sure.
We didn't pay the January 6th thing very much mind. There's probably a lot of great arguments for why that is actually important, right? And maybe that's just, you know, we see it sort of differently. Maybe there's other people out there but like, being so vehemently like, blah, 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 this is bullshit, we already knew, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you got bot mindset. That's all.
I want you to think about the people that are coming for Glenn Greenwald for tweeting the following.
Mm.
So there was multiple Biden advisors in Facebook when the Hunter Biden story was suppressed but the New York Post reporting of it was suppressed. So there's a couple people. There's Andy Stone, but this one's crazy. Anna Makanju, a Facebook censor who worked for the Obama White House and then advised the Biden campaign. That person was responsible, with a couple other people, for pulling the lever that said, you can't see this. That's a person who is obviously biased.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like now, how can you say that that's nothing?
I mean, that's like that by definition, whether you want to use it as a pejorative or not, that is pure partisan. Like,
yes, that's hackery.
It's the definition of partisan.
So again, my question is, what are we doing here? Where we're like, again, you can think it's so weird that you can't separate these things. You can't say Trump is scum. However, I think that liberal values have to be maintained on our side, or we risk becoming like him.
Right.
You can't say, Elon Musk is a scumbag. However, this is relevant news that we should be digging into to see how much is there.
Right.
Why can't you say these things? it's crazy.
You have to bulldog
this fucking Glenn Greenwald. This is the gay fella living in Brazil.
Right. Well, I mean, that's the scary thing is like, you know, Trump, for as like fucked up as a dude as he is, and like as fucked up as his administration was, it never had the culture on its side. You know what I mean? And it's like watching the sort of, I mean, however you want to define it, you know, liberal sort of wing of the American culture, left, whatever, like watching that become day by day, like just increasingly illiberal and increasingly like without any sort of sense of self-awareness of, like, you know,
let's talk about the lack of self-awareness. Taylor Lorenz 2 weeks ago. Apple and Google need to seriously start exploring booting Twitter off the App Store. Taylor Lorenz, after she was booted from Twitter. As a journalist, I have always been a fierce defender of free speech, and so these moves by Musk are worrying.
Or how about the woman? I forget who it was. It wasn't Taylor Lorenz, but how about the woman that said that invoked that compared Elon Musk to Goebbels for letting people say whatever they want on Twitter? I'm pretty sure the first thing the Nazis did was outlaw freedom of speech.
Yo.
And also, I mean, yes, obviously the conceit that the freedom of speech, quote unquote, in its pure doesn't exist on Twitter. And Elon Musk hasn't exactly been
No, listen.
It was a marketing tactic.
It's a marketing tactic. And then it's been hysterical watching people get. People want to invoke terms of service when it suits them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's just terms of service. And it's
you cannot invoke Nazis. Like when you're talking about, if you're talking against the notion of freedom of speech, you can't invoke the Nazis. You just can't.
No, that's not good. Hold on. Let's see. Yeah, I mean, look, it's terrible that I should be getting all these talking points from Glenn Greenwald's Twitter, but he's handling this matter with some clarity. Again, I've had major issues with Glenn Greenwald. I think that when he has a target, he often will stretch. He'll stretch things out of pettiness. He'll play up things out of pettiness.
He's a scumbag journalist. Yes, this is what they do for a living.
Yeah, so I'm not crazy about him, but on this he has real clarity because he just keeps repeating. Liberals, is this a nothing burger? This is proof of FBI collusion with big tech to censor items that have no legal reason to be censored. Is that not news?
I mean, you can shout it into the abyss, you know? I mean, it's just that I think, I mean, man. I mean, I can go like full sort of like, like full meta, like conspiracy, and just say like, yeah, Elon's a pawn in this whole whatever the deep state's up to, you know? Because like, I still like didn't he said he was going to get rid of all the bots, right? I don't think that it's still I see mad bots out here.
I don't know. I don't I'm not tweeting enough to interact with bots, but listen, I'm sick of looking for this shit. I'm sick of Glenn Greenwald's fucking face as I scroll through this. So I'm just going to sum this up real quick. He said it better than I can, which is this idea of free speech is a principle that we, because people don't have principles, we often sell it to them as their best interest. And we might be, and this is a fear I've always had. We always say you have to be careful about free speech, or you have to be careful about censorship, because someday you may find yourself on the side of the censored, right? That you might, something you say may, for whatever reason, there may be a regime change or whatever it is, you might find yourself on the outs. And this is, you have to look out for your own self-interest. That's an argument that people make all the time.
Yeah.
And I've always looked for the language to say, that's not the conversation to have. It is a principle that you maintain, or it isn't. Because yeah. Now we have this, we have people obsessed with their self-interest to this degree that it's like all we sold them when we were trying to sell them, hey, you got to look out for yourself. This could happen to you. Is I'm going to preemptively strike so that it can never be me.
Yeah.
And now that's stupid, of course, but that's how people's brains work. And we gave them too much credit. It's like, yo, it is a principle that you either believe in or you do not. And it seems like this is going to be the battle moving forward, is that, you either care about these things and you see, oh yeah, what applies to me applies to others because that's my principle. Or you're a partisan hack that just wants to harm people that think differently than you. I don't know. I mean, I guess that's it.
And to me, I mean, I think we talked about it more last time, but or another time, or maybe on one of the streams, I don't remember, but it's like, to me, the mind blowing thing of everything is like, you have to be in your soul a deep loser to be invested on what goes on Twitter. Like,
oh,
to
yeah,
care,
I mean,
about who owns it, to care about people, what they say, to think it has the influence that it does. You're like a grub.
Well, this is the problem, is that we're all saying two things at once. Is Twitter important or is it not? Do you know what I mean?
Well, like, it is. Okay. The notion of government actors trying to censor you, yeah, that's important. Especially because they're doing it in a shady way behind the scenes, right? On any platform, even if it was fucking your notes app, you know,
yes,
or it was Microsoft Excel, that's bad. Does it have the influence that people think it does? I do not think so. I think it has influence over a certain type of person, and that person sucks, honestly. But like, you know, I guess that's neither here nor there. It's I mean, people that use it will talk about how much it's, you know, this whole podcast is essentially, this is essentially a Twitter podcast. You know what I mean? Like, this is what we've been talking about for years. And it's like, if you,
that's
just,
why I'm, that's why no one can love me.
Yeah, precisely. I mean,
it's why just, I'm mentally ill.
If you just look at the numbers, like, look at the, like, there was recently a news story, I forget who put it out, but it's like the percentage of the amount of people that have a Twitter account. Okay. Then there's the amount of people that tweet more than once a day. It's a tiny number of humans, you know? So it's like, how much influence can it really have if, you know, 98% of humanity is not on it? They're not looking at it. What influence can it have?
I mean, we could say the same thing. You know, how many people were reading newspapers? Probably less than we think, right? So it's like, but these are the people that make, the people that do read them are the ones that make decisions. So that's the problem. You know what I mean? I agree with you. The average person may not have their views shaped by Twitter in any meaningful way, except for the legislation that comes down because some fucking weirdo is reading it.
Right. That's a fair point. But I mean, you know, I guess the narrative of like we have to censor these tweets because it will infect the voting masses. It's like, yo, most voters are not looking at this. You know,
but again, you're making that argument about practicalities instead of principles. You know what I mean? Like, just is it wrong to have a government tell you what you can think or have access to? Yes, it is wrong. Period. That's it. You know what I mean? That's it. So like anything that we try to, if we try to make it kind of a practical concern, I think we're going the wrong direction. You know, that's Glenn Greenwald thing I was looking for. He said it better than I did. He was just basically like, we try to sell this to people on principle, but they're bereft of principles. And so everything is about fear mongering.
Sure. But I guess my point is that the notion that this is in fact the new town square, it's just like any of the shit we talk about all the time. Any of the shit that's being talked about on Twitter, you can go down the block. You can go to the fucking pizza place. You can go to the fucking burrito spot. You can go to the does anything exist besides restaurants? Church. No one's talking about the shit that goes on here. It's one thing. It is bad that people are being censored. That's not good. I don't support that in any way, shape, or form. But they're being censored on the conceit that people are sending out wrong and harmful misinformation. And it's like, I don't think that whatever they're saying has the effect that you think it has in the sort of democracy destabilizing. It's fucking laughable. It's laughable. You know, it's Twitter's just another fucking echo chamber, like fucking CNN or Fox News or fucking.
Oh, that might be true. Yeah.
Whatever the QAnon bullshit, whatever fucking Q drops. It's just that you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That might be true. It's become a echo chamber for. I'm not exactly sure. I think it is. I'm relatively sure that it is. Corporate Dem cosplaying as progressive. Yeah. I think that's who is monopolizing the conversation on Twitter. The person who believes they are progressive until they confront actual progressivism and go, oh, hey guys, come on now. Come on, let's be cool.
I think honestly, if we're going to get conspiratorial again, I mean, this is not necessarily based on anything other than my theory. But I think there's some merit to it. And just that I think it's sort of whatever word you want to use, PSYOP, I guess, from these agencies to sort of, I think they saw what social media did for something like Occupy Wall Street. And now their whole operative is, hey, you know what? When we talk about the rail workers wanting sick days, actually, you're thinking about it in the wrong progressive lens. We need that. We need them because it'll destabilize the economy. And actually, what we should be talking about is the lack of South Asians that work in red. Like, that's the problem. Why, you know, where, you know, it's yeah.
that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's there's some complex issue that is going to require some actual. Thought-filled negotiation between parties that have different interests. What about Kanye though?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like that's who it's for. It's for the person that's like, oh, Starbucks unionizing. That's good. I like that. Wait, is there a line?
Yeah.
No, I don't like this. Listen, can I pivot to something important?
Please.
This is a tweet. I watched Willow. It was one of my childhood movies, but I hadn't seen it for decades with my kids. They loved it. In order to watch the new series together. Are you aware, Eric, that there's a Disney or Disney Plus Willow series?
I found this out 3 days ago. Yeah.
Okay. Then I saw on Disney Plus that it was definitely not recommended for children under 16. Is it that violent? Listen. I'm sure this is a nice guy who loves his children. What level of violence could Willow on Disney Plus have that you wouldn't show it to a child versus a movie from what, 1989? Are we going to presume that the Disney Plus show 1988, the Disney Plus show aimed at the broadest pot? Like, what are you scared of? Let your kids see the sword fight. You know what I mean?
Let the kid watch the Disney program.
Yeah, exactly. Please. Like, is that like an online flex or something? Like, oh, hey, I'm good, Dad.
No, I think it's
that a dem mating call?
No, maybe. I know. It's when people have kids, they're weird. They get weird. It's that innate nature to be like, what if this television show I expose them to turns them into a deranged pedophile school shooter, and then it's my fault. And then my life is ruined and my kid is ruined because I let them see some show where, yeah, there's violence in it. It's just, when you become a parent, it's like, you turn into this weird concern bot. Everything, you know, anything that could have a potential negative effect on your kid, like, makes you insane.
You know, I prefer the parenting that I see at the gas station at 11 o'clock at night, where one of the workers brings her maybe 10-year-old to work, and it's late. And I think that's fun, and I like that. Here's the thing. I'm sympathetic. Children are both more delicate and more resilient than you think, right? But you don't want to be wrong on which one of those you side to, right? You don't want to say, yeah, kid, go play in the yard, and then the kid falls down a well. You don't want that. So I understand wanting to keep your precious package, like, you know, whatever. It doesn't apply to fucking Willow on Disney Plus. Let it go. You know what I mean? Your kid is going to be going unprotected, high as shit at a party very soon.
Yeah.
I don't think Willow is going to be the deciding factor on how they manage their lives.
I wouldn't show your kid Willow because it's like, it is sort of the symptoms of a culture that is truly dead when they have to dig up something. Yo, you know, they're fucking rebooting Night Court.
Fuck, stop that.
You're like, what is left? What is going to be left?
Is that true?
Yeah, they've rebooted Night Court.
Jesus.
Hang on. I want to talk about a video I sent you a couple days ago. It's, so you know how, like,
half of Night Court is dead.
Night Court and John Larroquette's in it. I thought fucking John Larroquette was dead.
No, it never does.
You know how on YouTube when my algorithm got reset, I'm constantly getting suggested, like, you know, the chill study beats and the ambient music to fall asleep to, and it's like 10-hour long fucking videos of just like music, I guess. I found one. It's from an account called the Videos Archive. It's Kmart in-store music, Christmas 1974, upload recreation.
Okay, and sounds good.
The weirdness of that, first of all, on its face is one thing. The second part is how it has 1.2 million views, and the comments from people that their like most cherished nostalgic memories in their heart. I'm going to read this comment. Hang on. Where'd it go? I found, I'm 57. This reminds me of a time that was so much happier and simpler. I remember the grill, blue light specials, and latest music on 45s. Times were so different.
Listen, that's how people get. So I talked about this on Axe to Grind. I tweeted about Torch and Blacklisted, two bands I really love.
Yeah.
But two bands that are of an era.
Sure.
And it's an era that people are not, they don't want to go back to necessarily unless they were there. If you were there, you really enjoyed it. You have good memories of it and you want to talk about it too much. And if you weren't there, you don't want to hear about it at all. It's not like storied or cool yet. You know what I mean? It will be eventually, but it's like right now it's kind of just that like old guy, my uncle sort of shit, right? And it gets me thinking that like kind of that bring me back sort of brain is where everybody arrives to some degree, but is also like has to be avoided. Yeah, I have to dodge it, man. I'm not saying you got to be into 100 gex or some shit, right? Like, I'm not saying you got to like be down with whatever like actual children are doing, but it can look dangerous almost to gravitate towards things that you liked as a child. It can be dangerous thing.
At least, I mean, obviously the Star Wars shit got beat to death. I mean, but you know, at least that's like a piece of art, something that I bring up this video because like I can understand being nostalgic for the cool movies you saw as a kid. I can understand reminiscing about seeing fucking Alice in Chains in 1992 when you were lit with all your buds. I get that. That's a meaningful memory.
But
I'm looking at people fucking cry. I'm crying right now. Anyone else remember the blue light special?
Please read some highlights from this for me.
Oh my God. All right. Let's never thought I'd get teary eyed over Kmart, but here I am.
Oh God. Why do people talk like memes?
I know. Thank you. Thank you for uploading this. You've made us all feel like kids again.
Okay.
Merry Christmas, Kmart shoppers. I hope you have a wonderful holiday.
That's kind of nice.
Yeah, sorry, it's fine. That one's all right. This music makes me happy and sad at the same time. Happy to hear those songs that are so familiar to me. Yeah, Jingle Bells, I would think that would be familiar to you. Sad knowing that those days are gone. Yo, I'm pretty sure you can go to Kmart right now.
I mean, I certainly can. There's one down the street.
That's what I'm saying. It is like we've talked about it. I think the Greeks considered nostalgia a mental illness. They're correct.
They're correct. Look, for all of us, there's going to come a time when our best days are behind us.
Yes.
That's the nature of the thing. And perhaps maybe it's mentally healthy to accept that and to not run from it in a way that is pointless. But I also think that you can't telegraph your hunger for a different time because it makes it seem like you have nothing to offer now.
it comes with this like conceit that your life is currently bleak.
Yeah. 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 And but you know what? Here's the flip side. The flip side is the nostalgia R&B tours where kind of like mothers of three, they kind of just really grind against their man, you know, their second husbands or the boyfriends who have they're unmarried, but they've been helping raise the children for 3 years. They grind against them while like, you know, Ashanti plays, right? Performs to 3,000 people, maybe 1,000 people. And that is, there's joy there. Those people are experiencing joy. So it's like difficult in the same way that like I get depressed when I go to weddings and people are like, oh, this is my jam. You know, like, and they start dancing to something that's like really like, don't want to be a player no more.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, and you'll be like, this is your jam, you know? But there's something to that, right? There's something that person's happy. And I don't know. I don't want to take away people's happiness. I just want them to be happy elsewhere. Or I want them to be happy. I want them to take happiness from other shit, from new interests, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you can't. I understand. There's obviously, as a human, we all have things that we remember and we think about it and go, oh, yeah, it was pretty cool. I remember going to my grandparents' house when I was a kid. It was lovely. but like you just can't wallow in that. You can't, no. You cannot get drunk and at 3 a.m. go on the fucking, the YouTube video and type some shit like, I don't know, back in 1976, I worked for Kmart. I was the young guy behind the deli counter serving ham sandwiches. Yo, that's a nightmare memory. That should not be, that should not be a fucking cherished memory. I've worked at a deli. It's awful.
Hold on. I'm going to say Woolworth's ad. Let's see what a Woolworth's ad. Oh my God. These are, I'm in Australia where Woolworth's is still a thing, but I'm looking for, oh my God. Hold on. Ad vintage. Let's see.
Isn't it funny?
Okay. 1983 is, oh God. let's see what the comments are on this one. Let's see. That's the best ad I've ever seen. Okay. All right. All right. let's see. Blimey, after all these years, thanks for finding this. I was the lad with the speak and spell, filmed in Luton Arndale Center at the country's biggest store. I only remembered bits of this ad. Can't remember meeting those famous stars. I'd love to see the famous stars. okay, so there's a lot of titties out in this video, this ad, or not titties out, like a lot of like braless women.
Right.
Let's see.
I remember
what happened to Christmas? That's one of the comments. holy shit. You know what? We should do a show that is just YouTube comments. Here is a comment on a Woolworths ad. My aunt is very sick.
That's it?
That's it. Well, a unhappy face. My aunt is very sick.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear that. Why are you commenting that on the Woolworths YouTube video?
That's where you go to let it out.
The amount of people just like cracking a fucking 30 rack at 2 in the morning as they stumble home from the bar and just getting on YouTube and sobbing and just letting people know.
Wait a second. That's where we're going to go next. Give me a we're going to go Coors ad vintage. Coors commercial 19. Okay, here's a rare Coors commercial with Sam Elliott now, because people are going to be talking about Sam Elliott. 1986 vintage Coors commercial. We're going to go with this one from 1980, but people might be too, this might be too old. Let's see.
Yo, I don't know what the, I don't know what the blue light special is, but my God, it had an impact on people. There's so many comments that are like, ugh, the blue light special. Anyone else remember?
Here's one of the comments. Yeah. Well, it's like, it was just a sales thing. Here's a comment left on this vintage Coors ad. When men were not confused to be men. You know, I've got an acquaintance, a guy I'm friendly with who is, I might've talked about him. He's a Mexican dude, you know, a graffiti guy for years and years and years. And he is now like a true Trumper.
Yeah.
And he is, but what's interesting about him is that everything comes back to kind of like fears about gender stuff happening, fears about kind of like the influence of wokeism, like driving people out of their careers and everything. But it's like, you know, these are conversations to be had, but they're like, he like swims in it and like can't get off of it, right? And it's like, well, imagine the person that's that guy who is a cool dude who just happens to be stuck on a topic right now. Like, right. Like the same way that somebody might be stuck on. Have you seen The Sopranos? It's awesome.
Yeah.
And then they just want to talk about The Sopranos all day. So like, imagine somebody like that, but to the level of mental illness where they have to go to YouTube. Do you know what I'm saying? Like where they have to be like, They have to go to YouTube and be like, this is before men turned into women. Like, let's see. Oh, I like this. This is a Coors Light Wingman TV ad from 2003. This is the best commercial. This is one of the best beer commercials ever. Next comment. I will never forget this commercial.
So I have a comment on my end that says, I've been looking for this song forever. It's all Christmas songs.
You don't have Christmas. To look hard.
The whole thing is Christmas songs. I'm so, so confused. What song could he have been looking for?
Well, thank you for posting this. I haven't seen this commercial in years, but I still sing it to myself every now and then at work. Can't get it out of my head. Funny thing was, I remember being at one of the best We Salute You spots from the other beer. Go Coors Light. A Coors Light partisan. This commercial never gets old. Perhaps one of the best beer commercials of all time. True genius. Yo, this is dozens of people saying this is the best beer commercial of all time. Give me one second. I'm going to see what this is about.
Man.
Oh. It's a guy with an acoustic guitar singing. You're trying to talk to a girl at the bar, but she's towing an anchor, an investment banker. And it's about how you need a wingman to help you land this girl.
Jesus Christ.
And this still pops into this guy's head 20 years later. That's crazy. Fucking
shit, man.
In a month, it's going to be 20 years. As if there's still people being like, oh, remember that wingman commercial?
The wingman commercial. This is, yeah, it's. Fuck, man.
What else do people have nostalgia about that's just depressing?
I mean, Kmart is pretty fucking rough, man. I mean, I'm sure there's people that, you know.
Let's see how many people in the vintage Marlboro ad are talking about their dad who died.
Or their fucking like ex-smokers who miss just token up.
Who are watching this being like the way that addicts get together and talk about the old. This is a Marlboro commercial, everybody. This commercial still gives me goosebumps and a cozy feeling. I remember that I watched it at my grandma's when I was 6 years old, 1981. This shows me the impact advertisement has on children, even tobacco ads. Next person, very powerful tobacco ad. I remember it vividly from my childhood. Man, I sure could go for a Marlboro with its smooth blend perfected by its latest filter technology and an amazing flavor. Okay, well, that guy's at least in the zone. Let's see. Oh, no. There was nothing like smoking a Marlboro in the morning with a cup of coffee. The knowledge of the harm cigarettes cause came along and ruined everything. No, it was available to you at the time. It wasn't exactly life-altering information to find out that it – like in the 1980s. Oh yeah, cigarettes are bad. Let's see.
Man, this shit puts me in a fucking place.
Wish they'd show this kind of commercial nowadays. I'd watch them all day long.
Dude, no, you can't do that.
I'd watch them all day long.
You can't, you know. I don't understand. I mean, if you're gonna, I already said it, but if you're gonna be nostalgic, you gotta listen to L7.
You know, even suggest that.
Listen to some Van Halen.
Marlboro Man lived next to me for a few years in Corona Del Mar, California. My buddy had him sign his carton of Marlboros. Oh, here we go. This is what I was looking for. Today, you have to live healthy. Don't smoke. Don't eat sugar. Don't feed your children chocolate. Don't eat fat. Don't do sport. Live the healthy way. and do all that by order. You are not allowed to do anything that is fun. Live long and don't think about how boring it will be. Don't think about the missed adrenaline, fun, or adventure while your electric by a robot driven car brings you to work and back in an air conditioned cabin. These are all spelled wrong, by the way. cabin is spelled incorrectly. Without contact to the terrible things outside they used to call nature. It's toxic. Stay at home. Don't travel. It's dangerous. Connect your brain and get hypnotized by modern technology while the real rich have the whole fucking great world to themselves without all the average people. They don't deserve to live. Sad but true. We're not far away from this.
Yo, you gotta stop, man. You gotta get off.
A little bit. You can still go outside, my guy. Nobody's stopping you. Just go outside.
Yeah. I mean, that might not be nostalgia brain. That might just be like mentally ill brain.
Here's one from Tolupo, Mississippi Flash. I remember lighting up watching this thinking, it's great that gas is 99 cents a gallon with no libtards to chase down on horseback. Ah, the 80s.
Chase down on horseback?
I don't know. Is he border patrol? I don't know what this guy's about.
That's a weird one.
I could do this all day.
See, this is how you know that Twitter's fake, right?
Yes.
Because this sounds like real people.
It is now 2024, and the choice is up to you. Do you listen to good podcasts, or do you listen to bad ones? Well, we've got a suggestion for you. How about you listen to a good podcast for the first time in your miserable life? I can think of one. Overnight Drive. Going strong. 11 years now. The podcast about nothing. Your favorite podcast's favorite podcast. Do you enjoy nothing? So do we. Why don't you come over and check it out and stop listening to other podcasts? Thank you.
You're sad.
This is proof of how damaged people are. My older sister died at an early age with lung cancer. She had started smoking when she was 13 years old. I've only seen her with one picture where she looked healthy without a cigarette in her hand. Needless to say, right before she died, she didn't even have a cigarette in her hand, but she had cancer in both her lungs. Then this person goes three lung emojis, which I didn't know existed, and three crying face emojis.
The lung emoji.
Three crying face emojis for your sister. Is that like, yeah, pour one out for my sister who's dead. Here's some crying face emojis.
I wouldn't ever think of putting that in a comment section of anything.
No.
It's so strange, but it's strange in that way that is, there are no bots in the YouTube comments. There doesn't need to be.
That's exactly right.
An AI that studied human beings 24/7 could not generate such like pathetic insights.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Typically people keep things like that to themselves.
Yeah.
Although I'm over here thinking about spending a large sum of money on a Spawn the Movie film crew hat from 1996.
Yeah, the things I look at on eBay are not well.
I'm looking at a Twitter account called The Spawn Archive.
That's pretty cool. Okay. How's it going?
I mean, this hat looks awesome. Are they selling it? The Spawn movie kind of sucked.
Yeah, no, it sucked.
It's bad. I probably haven't seen it in 30 years, but this one's kind of lame. Anyway. So
hold on. Vintage ad. Let's see. Vintage advertisements. No. So we got to go to 1990.
Mm.
Like, because I feel like that's the most pathetic time to feel nostalgia for. Cause, although, I mean, it was a good time for people. People were mostly riding high. But I just feel like in general, it's like kind of doesn't have the appeal of the 80s. It's there's just like to want to go back there is just, I mean, I guess you had the Clinton politics where you're like, everybody's doing well. Don't worry about it.
Kmart had the best popcorn, better than Sears, which is saying something. My grandmother would take me there and she would let me go to the toy aisle because that's what I would stay till she would come and get me. But every now and then she would have to page me, LOL, right after the blue light special. Remember them? Man, I never had money when that blue light special would go off. How I miss those carefree days. Unless, like many of you, I miss my grandparents who raised me back in Dallas. Merry Christmas.
Okay, hold on. I could be more depressing than that. Here's a block of vintage commercials from the early 1990s. Here's the comments. I never thought these days would end. Here's another.
You're still alive, homie.
All these commercials are wonderful. Those Wendy's, Coke, and McDonald's commercials just melt my heart. God bless your soul, Mr. Dave Thomas.
Oh, my God.
These commercials soul, make
Mr.
me
Dave Thomas.
This might sum it up. These commercials make me feel safe.
Oh. Oh, God. Oh, man. Fuck. What a weird little like interesting paradox it is that like by most metrics, the world improves as a place generationally. And yet this deep innate human thing to be so wistful for no. times that have come and gone.
Listen, oh man, that Sony CD player commercial really brings me back to being 13 and watching lots and lots of MTV when it was one of the most played commercials that year. I also remember having to be into Beverly Hills 90210, which, by the way, this person puts everything in everything in quotes. So Beverly Hills 90210, which is it doesn't require quotes, but not minding it as much as the omnipresence of the utterly dire Saved by the Bell, and how much my family loved the relatability of quote Roseanne, since we were an awful lot like the Connors. And I remember rolling my eyes at that Robitussin commercial whenever it aired, because even back then I recognized just how sexist it was. And oh my God, I remember that extra bubble gum commercial and how it got me to try it out and how I still very much enjoy it. And wow, I feel this is depressing. And wow, I feel young again. Thank you very much for making me forget how ancient and decrepit I am.
Wow. God. Quit shopping at Kmart once they quit selling ammo right around 1989. Man, they used to have some good deals on ammo.
Fuck. That might be the highlight.
How about this one? This comment just says very simply, I miss the ham sandwiches so much.
That's fantastic.
Holy fuck. Holy shit. I can smell the popcorn right now. My grandma worked here. This makes me think of my grandma. I miss her. Sad face. Your grandma had to work there because she didn't have a pension.
Yeah, exactly. Also, that's her eulogy is a sad face.
Yeah.
A sad face emoji.
Right.
I think about this pretty often. There's a guy who I knew. I don't know if you knew him, but he died, and his last tweet was the most mundane, stupid thing I'd ever seen. And it got me thinking, like, oh wow, that's like so much of our, so many of our fates is to just be like our last moments are like talking about, you know, vintage Coors ad or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
It's yeah.
Just,
oh yeah.
And it's like, ugh. I guess that's every, I mean, at the end of the day, not everybody like dies in the hail of gunfire fighting in World War II. Some people just, you know, you have to remember them by their social media, which is just depressing as shit. It's like, it's them being like, Glenn Greenwald, you're a bitch, bro. Why are you holding water for the wealthiest man on the planet? All right.
I mean, what if someone's last tweet was, God, man, this new Willow shit sucks.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all of a sudden their heart ventricle ruptured.
What if your last tweet is one episode into Willow? I'm not sure if it's too violent for my children.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
It's like you're dead.
Dead.
You're dead. All right. We have to do overtime later because I have a scheduled podcast to do now.
Wow. That's just
listen, you hit me at fuck, you hit me an hour ago going, oh, this is a podcast.
All right. We'll do a maybe we
you
can
woke up in a haze of no exercise. Eating what you want at your parents' house going, ooh,
oh yeah, dude, my sleep's good. It's bad. It's embarrassing.
You're bad.
I'm waking up like after 10.
Oh my God.
I know. It's dark. You know, wow. You know, it's even darker because it's like, I'll wake up at 9 and go, eh, and then it'll be 10:30. It's rough. Yes. I'm still in California time. Whatever. Fuck you.
I'm waking up 5 a.m. to 6 a.m.
Yeah, but that's you got that. That's your schedule now. That's your what's the word? Your circadian rhythm. I still have a Los Angeles circadian rhythm. Also, we were streaming last night till like 2 a.m. my time.
Yo, when we started getting just randos in the shit,
that's a good
sign. That's a good sign.
That was fun.
That means that at 2 a.m. Twitch is so pathetic in the just chatting section that us having 30 viewers is like, no, let's pump this.
It's lit. It's lit. Yeah. Yeah. No, everybody. So let's plug all the things. Actually, we have to chop a little. We have to push the shirts. The shirts are almost done, everybody. So get a shirt. Throughandthroughmerch.com. Go there. They're almost gone. You got to get a shirt. Stop being a fucking idiot.
Are they almost gone? That's great.
Yeah, they're selling. They're out there. They're out in the world. People are wearing them. People are getting weird looks as they walk through the airport. It's a joy. You wear it at Kmart and you go, why don't they sell the popcorn anymore? You know,
wear the twerking Marge shirt to the airport.
Yeah, definitely wear it to the airport. Throughandthroughmerch.com, go there, get a shirt. We do Twitch streams now, everybody. We're pretending like it's 2016. We're doing our Twitch streams, twitch.tv/WP Timeline. Go there. We do them every Tuesday and Thursday, 8 p.m. Los Angeles time, 11 p.m. New York time. They're really fun. I think we should do a Christmas Eve like misery stream.
Oh, that's pretty good.
People love the misery streams. That's pretty good. Keep an eye out for that. At WP Timeline on Twitter. Fuck, what's the phone number? We haven't done messages in a long time. Okay, so you know what? We'll do an overtime tomorrow. We're gonna do messages.
That's good. Yeah.
What's the number?
509 is part of it.
Holy shit. Did I forget the number? I don't remember the number.
That would make me feel better. It seemed autistic that you remembered it at all.
Holy fuck. It's kind of weird how I was very good at remembering it.
Very good.
205-509-9785. I think that's the number. If it's not, just make a friend.
Yeah, there you go.
worstpossibletimeline@gmail.com for all business inquiries. I think that's everything, right? Did we plug everything that we have?
Yeah, I think so.
Anyway, everybody, we'll catch you next time.
Well, hey, podcast listener, my name is Vince, and I'm the host of a show called The RR Show. It stands for Reddit Readings. We're going to sit down twice a week, and I'm going to bring you the most entertaining stories from all of the best subreddits that exist online. Things like malicious compliance, petty revenge, hey, lady, I don't work here. Oh, there's so much more. Lots of great stories and things you won't believe. Like the one time this dude was caught in a bathroom with his friend and he was slapping them because that was the only way that he could actually legitimately help them. A mall cop comes in with a taser. Oh, yeah. The rest is history. It's going to be fun. There is, I don't know. I got like 20 seconds left, so I don't got much more time to tell you another story. But just join me on The RR Show. It's from Evergreen Podcast, produced in partnership with Wessler Media. So The RR Show. Wherever you get podcasts, subscribe today. And it's like an adult story time. Let's hang out together. The RR Show. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcasts.